League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here. We're Houston. We're the city of champions. How about I give you another champion? If you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. They're champions. Free consultations are available 24/7. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW and DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell, here with you for the next 3 hours on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Lance is back in the saddle after being... I didn't know you'd get back in the country.
Well, I thought it was
You didn't lose your passport once?
No, we put it in a safe, and I'm not in charge of passport. I did leave my earphones and phone on the plane, and then had to wait at customs for somebody from the plane to bring it down to me because I couldn't get back up onto the plane to get it.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that.
Yeah.
So now I've done that in Cuba. I've done it in Mexico.
So that must have been a good hour or so that you were...
No, it was only about 20 extra minutes.
Oh, 20 extra minutes, but by the time you had to go through the line to come through...
Oh, customs? Actually, it wasn't too bad. It was only took about 15 minutes to get through there. Yeah,
that's not usual.
They say it's usually a lot worse. Yeah, it's usually. I got kind of lucky. We were also on a Tuesday. But, so now I've left my phone on planes, phone or iPad or suits.
Yeah.
In New York City.
You do it. I mean.
Key West, Cuba. No, yeah. Cuba was in a taxi, and they had to race to the airport to get it to me before I took off back to the States.
Right.
Yeah. Mexico City. I mean, a lot of them. In Vegas, of course, I was just there and left it. You were with me there in Vegas.
Did you pick Mexico City to go to because the Astros played the Rockies there and you wanted to see where...
Did you go
to the stadium just to look at it and
kind of the
home or
Azteca? No, they didn't play at Azteca. But no, but my my guide, we paid for a guide and who also drove us, and he knew English. His name was Leo. Leo... The second day, Leo is a baseball player for like a men's league, like kind of like a, not even semi-pro. They play with a softball. So they play with the softball overhand.
Overhand?
They pitch overhand with the softball. Probably a lot of UCLs jumping off.
Oh, you would
which
think.
Is kind of Astro-y to have a bunch of guys with arm injuries.
I think that's what the Astros have been doing.
Yeah, the bunch of guys with arm injuries, that's the Astros, basically. Right. And Leo... as you can tell here, is an Astros fan.
Oh, yeah.
He put his hat on. Leo, who was, like I said, you pay for him, and he's got his own car. He got like a Suburban. He's driving you around. He tells you the history of stuff. And he was like, oh, yeah, I went to the Astros series when they were here. I went up. He goes, for the first three innings, I was paying attention. Then I started hitting the beer hard, and then I forgot to watch it for the next five innings.
I forgot to watch the game for the
next
5 minutes.
He said I was just drinking the whole time. You would have loved me because I was just drinking the whole time. I totally forgot about the game until the ninth inning. And he said, but I got a hat. I'm an Astros fan. He goes, said he's an Astros fan. So, yeah, our guide was an Astros fan. And a lot of people, I brought an Astros hat, were excited when they saw me.
Yeah.
A lot of people called me, they kept saying grand champion. And every time they'd see me, and I'd say, oh, thank you, grand champion. El gran chingón. I said, oh, grand champion.
Well, no, grand.
And they kept saying, grand champion, el gran chingón. I'm like, and I think it was the hat. I think it was the Astros hat.
Okay, all right.
They kept saying grand champion, and so I was very excited about that. But,
no.
But the Astros were huge there.
Nice little trip.
Everyone could talk about
Nice little
about
trip
it.
To Mexico City.
Yeah, it's, I kept up with our boys. Yeah. I mean, I said, oh, and my dad would call me every day and say, oh, look, Javier's
back. Oh, did he
back.
Call you when Jake Myers came up with a big pinch hit single?
I did not get
it. Didn't get that
well,
call?
Well, I got a call, a couple calls I didn't answer, so he may have.
Can we get off Joe Espada now? Making the right moves, bringing in a pinch hitting. Now, it was Trey Cabbage at the plate with runners on. So, but bringing in Jake Myers, who hadn't been killing it, but Jake came up with one of the big hits of the weekend, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. You know, coming in, pinch hitting, and getting the job done in a big situation there. And that actually, you know, was actually pretty damn, that was pretty damn important right there. That got the whole thing going for Justin Verlander. Actually, you know, they had scored, but that blew it open, made it 3-0, and then 4-0 with Dubon. And Dubon needs to play every day too. But ever since Eric Layden played taps for your Houston Astros, this is our version of the tombstone.
No, when
Eric Layden played taps, he had Austin was on the board. Me, Dell, and Eric Layden were at Klein's last week on Thursday.
Klein's. When did that happen?
Well, that happened on Thursday.
Did we know that was going to happen?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. See, and they had just lost
Who's
their second
Austin?
Game. Austin is a.
I've never heard of Austin.
No one knows. No one okay. knows who Austin is. But actually, apparently he filled in or something. No one knows. Anyway, they had lost again to the New York Yankees, mm-hmm. and Eric Layden played taps. They'd lost their second straight. The season is over. He bet me that they would not win that night, which they did, and he lost his bet. He had mm-hmm. to bring me a six-pack of Coors Light. Uh-huh. And then they went on to win 2 out of 3. And, oh, by the way, Verlander looked great. Verlander was back yesterday. Oh, by the way.
Now, Verlander was – now, I've been alive long enough to know that I was in Mexico City long enough to know that he had a good start and a horrific start. I mean,
Well, he said after that start, he said, I'm going back to work tomorrow, and there's a lot of work to be done. And sure enough, he did. And he came up with a two-hitter with 8 strikeouts. Not too bad.
No, that's good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not been good this year.
No, it's not been good this year, but at least it was
so
good. And Detroit has been a pretty good team.
Wait, we're hanging our hat on the 2 out of 3 against Detroit because of the taps. They're back.
They beat the Yankees that night, and then they beat them. Won 2 out of 3. They won 3 of 4 ever since Eric Layden played taps.
Well, I'll take that.
Yes, they won 3 of 4, beating the New York Yankees. No, Javier did not.
Didn't get to see it. So how? So I mean, were there some positive signs? I saw no strikeouts, 4 walks, 2 home runs. 1 1/3, 7 earned runs. Like, was there anything positive about that?
Not
start?
Really, because his fastball was at 89 and 90.
Oh, okay. 89 and 90. Yes. Nothing to be concerned with there.
Nothing there. But
why are we rushing him back?
Now, and you look on the negative side, did you see Hunter Brown's line?
Hunter Brown had a big game.
Yeah.
It looks like we got a new reliever.
Maybe long relief is exactly where Hunter Brown needs to be.
Well, welcome back to the bullpen, Hunter. Did he really have 8 strikeouts?
He looked good.
He must have looked really good. Astros account tweeted out the Diesel 8 strikeouts or something like that, and everyone was, shut up. Who cares?
Well, no, you did care. Everyone, he had 7 Ks.
7 Ks.
7 Ks.
Yeah.
Five hits in 5 innings. Not great.
That's Hunter-y.
1 run. No walks. That was pretty
damn
good.
Yeah, no, I'd take that.
I'll take a 1 whip.
Now, that was after the Javier.
Yeah, that was after Javier just been destroyed. Yeah, that was second inning. The game was over. But bounce back
nicely.
Everyone
in Mexico City is talking about Singleton. Everyone's talking about Singleton.
Everybody's talking about Singleton.
That's the thing.
And then, how about this? And they're scoring runs late now. They scored runs late yesterday.
They always get by. If you bet against the Astros in the first 5 innings, you pretty much have made enough money for a house in River Oaks.
Well, you got Kyle Tucker homering in the first, and that's it. That's all they'll do.
Because the Astros will give up 3 to 7 runs in the first 3 innings of every game.
And not score many runs. But what about, you know, on Friday night, they came up with 2 in the 6th, 2 in the 7th, 4 in the 8th, and 1 in the 9th. which is not anything they've been doing lately.
No.
Coming up with clutch runs is not what they do. Okay? And Justin Verlander, that was yesterday's Verlander. But on Friday night, they took care of business with a four spot in the eighth inning, which is very un-Astros-like. So that was night. That was when Jake came up with a big hit. So things are starting to, they're starting to turn a little bit.
So you had Luis Urquidy, Jose Urquidy rather, and Chaz McCormick made starts yesterday, rehab starts in Sugarland. Urquidy beat up a little bit. I mean, he had some moments, but pitched like three innings, gave something like three runs. It was very, very, well, it's kind of Astro-y, but Urquidy at least on the mound pitching, so that's something. Chaz McCormick, I did not see what his box score was, but you know, the more I think about this, Javier at 89-90, which I didn't know that. My score app doesn't tell me what his. I didn't look at the MLB. I wasn't watching MLB app. I probably should have done that because I would have had his speeds. That's a big concern. Why are you rushing him back? Is he being rushed back? If Javier's not popping 92 pretty consistently, working at 92, so he's not back. His arm's not ready.
Yeah. Well, this is, you know, he was down last year. The World Series year, he was great. He was popping it. He was no-hitter. World Series, he was fantastic. Last year, he lost a little bit of velocity.
Yeah.
He lost
the thought, though, John, was maybe World Baseball Classic combined with all that additional.
Well, he pitching. Should be rested now.
No, I know. He's been off, and is his arm, does he just need more rehab starts? 89-90.
Yeah.
And obviously, he was not. There was no swing and miss stuff going on either.
Nothing.
Four walks. He can't. He's not working into the mid 90s with his fastball. He's usually like 93, 94. He's not. He doesn't throw as hard as I always assumed he was when I looked at Fangraphs last year. It was down a little bit last year, but even in 2022, it wasn't 96. He feels like he's a 96 mile an hour pitcher. And you know who is? Fromber. And Fromber doesn't feel like it.
Yeah. And then there was this. Did you see Bob Nightingale's story? Bob Nightingale wrote this. He wrote a big piece about, Davis. Anyway, he's got an odds and end notes at the end around the base paths. He talked about the Dodgers, Shohei Ohtani, blah, 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 blah. The Houston Astros plan to give rookie manager Joe Espada plenty of time to see if they turn their season around, particularly with their pitching injuries. But two prominent players have privately expressed complaints about Espada's communication skills in recent weeks. If the Astros miss the postseason and decide to make a change during the winter, the two hottest managerial free agents this winter are Alex Cora of the Boston Red Sox and Skip Schumacher of the Miami Marlins. I hate this kind of reporting. Two prominent players have privately expressed complaints about Espada's communication skills in recent weeks. To whom?
To him. You don't think?
No. No.
Could be. I don't know if Nightingale's got that kind of, but a lot of times information comes directly to, or a lot of times from agents of players will tell media.
Yeah, but see, that's so...
You think somebody from the Astros?
So now in that locker room, Espada is wondering who's talking behind my back. To whom? Is it to Dana Brown? Is it to Jim Crane? Is it what does that mean? Two prominent players have privately expressed complaints. Who'd they express it to? Their agents?
But
it doesn't say who he expressed it to.
Well, privately expressed it is going to mean to front office.
Maybe. Maybe not.
I see, this is a concern because how do you handle things when everything's going well? For the most part, it's easy.
This is just crappy reporting, if you ask me.
Well, is it inaccurate?
We don't know. I don't even know what the story is. Two private players have privately to who? Their mom? Privately to your wife? To their agent?
No,
it doesn't. How do you know that? You don't know that.
Well, that's,
he doesn't say that. Well, it could have been to their agent. Maybe he could have been talking, and he talked to the agent and said, "Hey, well, those a couple of guys have
told
me." I
guess so. I mean, the first thing I thought of is they just.
But it doesn't explain.
They didn't do anything. They just went right to management. But are you not worried that maybe is that your takeaway, and not that Joe Espada may not? Do you think Joe Espada makes it through the year?
Oh yeah, yeah, I think he makes it.
No doubt.
Yeah, no.
Okay, I tell you. Well, we'll break it. There's because I want to get into this. This the pathway I've kind of envisioned this for a while, and I think it's in this timeline's really speeding up on what's going to happen with Jim Crane. I want to talk about the Astros and what direction they head in. One of the worst things that could happen now is that the Astros just kind of play better baseball, and then they miss out on any opportunity
or win
trades.
3 out of 4 the rest of the trades. Way.
Yeah, okay. I mean they're still not a good baseball team.
According to you.
Justin Verlander was almost as bad as Javier his last start.
And then
Joe Espada's having to leave guys in just because he can't just keep going to the bullpen in a second inning every game.
And then what happened? Right. That's right. And then he came back with a 2-hit performance. How's that? Yeah.
Great. Yeah, it's still not a good team.
No. But I know who has a good team, and that's Chastain Ford. They have an SUV sales event going on right now, okay? On select 2024 SUVs, 2.9% APR for 72 months. You can stretch these payments out for 72 months and no payments for the first 90 days. I don't know how many 2023 F-150s they still have left, but 1.9% financing for 72 months on those. If you're a business and you need an F-150, there's never been a better time to go to Chastain Ford and pick up that 2023. What do you care that it's 23 and not 24? It's brand new. And you get the best financing you could possibly get on it. And you're going to get all the rebate. You're going to get all the deals you could possibly get because they just got to get rid of these. They just have to get rid of them. You take advantage of Chastain Ford there. But they got this 2.9% APR for 72 months on select SUVs. What? No payments for the first 90 days. That's ridiculous. You got to take advantage of Chastain Ford right now in the best dealership in the city of Houston. ChastainFord.com on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, 5 minutes from downtown. Chastain Ford.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John and Lance.
Gross. Back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Still ahead, what'd you learn this weekend in one sentence? I'm sure Lance has one, since he was in Mexico City.
Well, I just learned. You told me that El Gran Chingon is not the Grand Champion.
No,
they weren't calling me Grand Champion?
He's a big badass, apparently. Yeah, big badass.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. That's what you are. But it's not grand, you know, yeah. Apparently Lance has he's got some thoughts on what he saw in Mexico City. So we'll do that. You get one sentence that comes up in about 25 minutes right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. If you've got any thoughts on the weekend, you're more than welcome to get in here. 713-780-3776. Yeah, we got plenty to talk about with Joe Espada. But what about the Rockets having the third pick overall?
So I had a call from my son. I'm flying back. It's Mother's Day. Mason hasn't called and said happy Mother's Day to Mom. He calls and like, hey, Dad, coming up is draft lottery's coming up right now. So just letting you know draft lottery's coming up. And I said, okay, is that all, Mason? Yeah, I said, do you want to say happy Mother's Day to Mom? He goes, yeah.
He goes,
happy Mother's Day. I said, it's still me on the phone. Hold on. Let me hand the phone to your mom. And then she said something else to him, like, I need you to do this and that. He goes, I need to wait until after the draft lottery. And he just sounds like Napoleon Dynamite. Sure enough, he texts probably 15 minutes later, we're in the top four. We're in the top four. Automatically, we're in the top four. So I was like, oh, Nick, this is bigger than Mother's Day. Actually, sorry.
So top, they're in the third pick once again in the top. I mean, now the rumor is that they're ready to trade it. This is not okay. Would you?
Okay, wait. Dell's got to go get from Clutch Fans. You got to go get Rafael Stone. Go to Clutch Fans. Go to Dave Hardesty's Twitter and take the video. You say that, but that's not the rumor, according to their general manager.
Oh, really?
Wait until you hear Rafael Stone talking to the media. They had a quick little...
Yeah, yeah.
And Rafael is like all over the place. He's like, well, there's a slider. There's a slightly better than average chance that we'll like the player better than trade. No, we'll probably like the player better than Marner. No, we're definitely, you know, are going to like the player. Which one is
it? Which one is
he's it? Saying this, obviously. He's saying this because you don't know who the
players are. Well, you don't know who the players are out there. No.
You
first of all, you can't put no value on the player.
No, that's why Rafael's just saying stuff right now. Yeah. The fact is, the pick plus a player plus another first-round draft pick could end up bringing you a pretty good haul, even though this is not considered to be a great draft. Let's hear from Rafael Stone right here. And as he gives, I won't say mixed messages, the message just changes inside the answer.
I think the caveat to it always was we'd be willing to move it if we got something that was worth us moving it. And, but at the same time, valuing the player we think we'd bring in. So at least a slightly better chance that we'll like the player more at three, probably a much better chance that we'll like the player more at three. Or at least we'll, sometimes that's not true. A higher likelihood that we'll be very interested in a player at three. That's probably the better way of saying it. But also potentially maybe others will too. And so maybe other teams will be more aggressive in trying to trade in for that. So
he started off by telling you, I think the truth by saying, you know, slightly better chance. And then he went all the way to a much better chance. By the end of it, he was like, oh, we're going to like the player too. But then he goes, but maybe another team will too. What he's telling you is that they're open for offers, as any general manager should be with a team that has, this is the way I look at this, John. And I got into it a little bit with a couple people. We just had just friendly discussions. My belief is they have several good basketball players. There's not enough. We talked about this multiple times. I'm not sure how you get everyone. Now that you're adding Steven Adams, where are all the minutes coming for all these talented players? Jabari Smith, you're going to have some. So I don't know how they're handling Steven Adams and Shingun at the same time. Are they going to play double bigs? If they do, then either Dylan Brooks or Jabari Smith is not going to play when that happens. Most people say, no, they're not going to. But I think they will do that some. And then, depending on who the matchup is, you've got Dylan Brooks and Jabari Smith playing what amounts to the same position, although right now Jabari's at the four, Dylan's at the three. But at any point, Jabari could be the three. You got to find room for Cam Whitmore, Amen Thompson, and we haven't even gotten into, you know, obviously, so your point guard's Fred VanVleet, then Jalen Green, then you got Cam Whitmore.
Fred VanVleet is fleeting. I mean, that's only a couple of years. So it's, I don't mind.
Maybe only one more year.
Hey, listen, if there's a good point guard there right now, yeah, maybe one
more. But my point is, so they're talking about Reed Sheppard being the pick from Kentucky. That's the early talk. My only concern is you've got actually, look, Fred VanVleet's not, let's not count Fred VanVleet, but Amen Thompson, Jabari Smith, Tari Eason, who I didn't mention, you got Dylan Brooks, Jalen Green, Cam Whitmore. I'm already to six before I get to Steven Adams and Alperen Şengün. My whole thing is, yeah, you got a bunch of good players. And then you got some good players with a chance to be, a couple guys with a chance to be maybe great. John, then you move up to what? You're going to move up to add, you're going to get another player. You're just collecting players at this point. To me, I would rather have a good strong seven than a deep nine or 10. Like, give me the right combination of the right guys. If you took a future first and you took Jalen Green and you took the third pick and was able to move it for, and I just, you know, just throughout Mitch, Donovan Mitchell. I mean, you got to think about that.
Well, but here's the deal is that there's this, the top of this draft.
And financially,
is not, make it work, is not anywhere near what it was with Wembanyama.
No.
Here are the top possibilities for the Houston Rockets. Alexander Sarr, a French big man. French forward Zachary Risacher. I don't know how to pronounce his name. He's another Frenchie. UConn center Donovan Klingon. G League Ignite wing Ron Holland. Serbian point guard Nikola Topic. And Kentucky guard Rob Dillingham. They are considered. Shepherd has fallen down the list. He's not even close. Yes, he's not even.
I think
they were talking about.
Where are you getting that from?
This is a site that's talking about the Hawks getting the number one overall pick.
I would be careful because I think Draft Express Jonathan Poops Givony.
Rumors.
I'm going to check Jonathan Givony because he's way more tied in, unless they're getting it from, because Gavoni knows these guys. And also, there's a guy, Matas, golly, there's another big who's more of a stretch four that also they could be looking at. Now, Rafael's done a good job of picking players.
He absolutely does. He's done a good job of picking absolutely players. Has. And so, well, if it's a shooting guard, now you got a guy that you might have to pay that you're not sure about named Jalen, JG. I'm not going to name any names.
For sure. Now, you can hang out and do nothing, because if you sign him to a deal, maybe not max deal, but if you sign him to a big deal, $30 million a year, you can still trade. He's still a tradable commodity. That's the good thing, is when you sign him, he is still tradable in the future. So as long as he's not asking for max dollars, which you can't give him max dollars. And I think as a lot of people think, you can't give max dollars to Alperen, but I think you're going to have to give max dollars to Alperen.
Yeah, you're probably going to have to. The Rockets have 9 first rounders over the last 3 years. 9.
Yeah, you can't just keep picking players.
728 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So 713-780-3776 is the number if you want to get in here and talk about any of this stuff.
That's a good problem, though. I mean, the number 3 pick still. Everyone acts like, I've heard this about so many drafts. All right, after this pick, everything else sucks. If you're not in the top 3, you don't have a player. If you're not in the top 5, you don't have a player. And every year there's guys that are really good players.
Does it comfort you to know that some NBA GMs think this is a draft where if you're at least one or two, think if you're drafting at one, it's like drafting at 7 or 8 in another draft?
No. I mean, there's always drafts like this, drafts like that in the NFL.
I'll give you another. I was listening to a podcast this morning, and the GM, according to this person, said that you couldn't get Mikal Bridges for the number one overall pick plus one of your third best player.
Really?
That's how bad this draft is.
How bad is it? Is that tough?
Well,
actually, that list that I read you is Jonathan Jones.
Then that's the truth.
He got Reed Shepard falling to 7. Okay. So, yeah.
I would pay attention to what
Dalton Connect is up there as well. Listen, whatever the case may be, I know it probably doesn't happen. It's better to have the third pick than it does to be.
Oh yeah, yeah. Just the question will be: can you package that with a good player for an actual star?
That's what it's going to have to be. It's going to have to be a pack. And you know what? It might end up being something super painful, like giving up. You know what? What if I told you, all right, we'll give up the third pick, Jabari Smith, because you got Tari, Jabari Smith, and another player, and another not Amen, but and another player, Jayshon. And a future first for big time player. Would you consider doing that? I don't know that
even the combination of all of them. We can continue to talk about that. If you've got thoughts, 713-780-3776. I'll tell you what's not painful, and it's Doc Linville. Doc Linville with his neo-grafting. Not painful. And he's got a three-day where it's painless for 3 days, and after 3 days you don't even know you did it, if you want to know the truth. But this painkiller that he gives you is unbelievable. And so here's the deal: is it's not painful. It's an easy process. I did it on Friday. I was working on Monday all weekend long. No big deal. You just got to wear a hat. That's all for the weekend. No big deal. Here's the deal: is you'll love it. You'll love the results. 6, 7 months later, 8 months later, all of a sudden you're looking at it going, wow, what a difference the neo-grafting makes. It's not cutting and pasting like the other one. It's grabbing these little hairs and moving them to the top of your head. It's relatively affordable. People are flying to different countries to do this. You don't have to. You got it right here. And you're going to save money because you don't have to buy that that hotel and all of that stuff that you're doing. It's just ridiculous what some people are doing. Do it right here at 975hair.com. You may not even need the NeoGraft. You might need the PRP, which stimulates your own hair growth. That's something that's done as well. 975hair.com. You're looking for the best way to get hair? 975hair.com.
ESPN 97.5.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, big weekend for both the Astros and the Rockets this weekend. And the third overall pick and winning three of their last four, our Houston Astros appear to be. Now, you got the A's here for four, then Milwaukee for three, and then the Angels for three. And then you got the A's again for three in wherever they play. I don't even know what city they play in. But this is the time, man. You just took two out of three. You've taken three of your last four. Now you got a 10-game homestand where you're awesome. You're a great, great team at home. Now you take care of this business. This is where you turn the season around. I'm not taking anything less than an 8-2 homestand
here. How do you turn a season around when you don't have good starting pitching?
What are you talking about? Verlander.
Verlander had
Framber looked good his last outing. Like looked real good. Verlander looked good his last outing. You don't have Hunter Brown in your rotation anymore.
How far back do you have to go to find?
You got Ronel Blanco, the Cy Young.
Ronel Blanco is the one.
Okay. Cy Blanco.
He's the only one you can point to that has been consistent. None of these other guys. You're acting like Justin Verlander didn't just get smacked in the face by the Yankees.
Not yesterday, he didn't.
Well, not yesterday. He beat the the Tigers. He didn't beat one of the good teams.
Yes, he did. The Tigers were a winning team. I don't know if you heard.
Winning team. I'm talking about the Yankees.
Okay.
This is not a good pitching team. They can't get out of the first three innings without getting in a hole.
Ah, man, it's just all this negativity.
No, you're like coming up with kind of.
This season has turned around.
No, it hasn't turned around.
Yes, thanks to Eric Layden.
And he hasn't turned around. And here's what's going to happen. They're going to win just enough. Like, well, they're only seven games under 500 now. No one's getting traded. Bregman will have a bad season.
He already said he's not traded.
I know. Bregman's going to walk, and then Kyle Tucker won't get re-signed as they'll continue to let their best players walk. And Jim Crane's going to become it's going to be a big problem for him PR-wise. It's already bad enough that he's got – and frankly, there's nothing you can do about the Christian Javier signing. That was the right signing at the time. You just got beat up to this point. Unless something happens magically where he gets, you know, where he becomes the pitcher we saw 2 years ago. The Javier deal was a deal that you have to make. It was a good, smart deal to make at the time. It's just not working out. Montero was not a good deal. Abreu is obviously on the decline, and you did a Bagwell deal. Okay, so those weren't good. Those already aren't great. But when you're not going to move anybody to revamp your minor league system, you are going to get stuck with, like, you better draft your ass off if you're Dana Brown. I mean, you need to have some future Bregmans that you're drafting. You need to have some future Springers. You need to be drafting future Correas. You're going to have to, those caliber of players, future Altuves. Because how did you keep this thing going? With those level of players, phenomenal players, not just on the field, but in the clubhouse.
Mm-hmm.
They were great. And you're losing your club. You've lost a lot of clubhouse guys. And now you're not going to trade any of these guys, but you're not going to sign them either. So you're not going to sign guys that are going to be free agents, and you're not going to trade guys. So you'll get no value back except you'll get your draft pick, and that's it. And Jim Crane, people are going to – because people are already turning on – you know, it just so happens that the Texans look like they're going up. And Rockets could be going up faster than people think too. I think you and I both think that they got a chance to be better very, very quickly. The Texans are already getting to be very quickly – this has turned on the Astros to where summer matters now for football also with training camps. And it's been a long time since we've talked like that. But they're losing some of their share that they owned the city. That goes away quick. People now – I'm reading Twitter. It's amazing how many Astros Twitter people have kind of trailed off a little bit. I mean, they're still pissed off, but
– oh, no. There was a meme last week of these escalators with thousands of people on them just getting off of Astros Twitter. I mean, yeah. I mean, yeah. A start like this, we'll have people. But it's not over. It is not over. Taps, sorry, Eric Layden. This is a team – this is where you make hay. No, listen, he came on – last week, Dana Brown, and said, you know, you can go and win 7-8. So all of a sudden now, you're looking up and you're a 500 team again when you put together a couple of nice runs. This is when you have to do it, though. This is the part of the schedule. Well, Dell, who's played the toughest schedule so far this season of any team in Major League Baseball?
Well, as of Friday, it was the Astros.
As a what?
I said as of Friday, it was the Astros. I don't know what it is today, but Friday was the Astros.
Yeah, Friday was the toughest schedule. Now, the Astros helped that because they lost all those games. There's no question about that. But they had played the toughest schedule. Now, it eases up. Now you get your lamb killers. Now you start winning at home again like you're supposed to.
When are they going to start winning at home?
They're doing it this week.
Okay.
This week.
Lance, what do you think the Astros' record is in their last 10? Because I know we're doing
small. I mean, I'm guessing 9 of 10.
Small sample size theater.
8 of 10, 9 of 10 from what I can gather?
10 games ago, they were 10 games under 500.
Yeah.
And they're still 10 games under 500.
So, there you go. See? Now, 500 ball ain't better than what they were playing? That's right. I guess you're right.
500 ball won't get you to 500 ball.
No. Not how you started, no.
Not with this, Matt.
8-2 homestand. I'm calling it right now.
Oh,
8-2.
I'll do your little Coors Light thing if you want. Right. There's no chance. Right. They can't win at home.
8-2.
I'll take 6-4.
Kirby wants to get. No, they ain't going 6-4.
I'd take 6-4.
These teams.
Just little victories.
What up, Kirby?
Good morning. How we doing, everybody? Happy? Feeling good?
Yeah, feeling great, Kirby. Thanks.
Apparently great.
John, I think it'd sound better if you ended all your things about the Astros with a little bit of a question mark. Maybe a little 8-2 homestand, guys, huh?
Eight and two.
Quarter of the season's over.
Uh-huh.
Quarter of the season, you're 10 games under.
That's right.
You're trying to fool.
Okay. I don't know if you heard the Atlanta Braves. They were way down. The Washington Nationals were way behind, and they came
way
back
behind.
And won the World Series.
They won the World Series.
Is it more fun? Isn't it more fun to be negative than positive, Johnny?
No, it's not fun to be negative. Okay, you can be negative.
I know.
Go ahead.
I think Lance likes to be negative.
I know he does.
And they're 10 games under 500.
That's right.
I know. They're terrible.
They're still not good. I'm still reeling from walking around a market and Justin Verlander's getting his ass kicked. So, I'm glad he had a good start. It's about time. He's getting paid to have good starts.
He's 41.
No.
So what? Oh, wait, did you throw a two-hitter yesterday? How old are you?
No, I can't even throw anymore. I tore my pec.
Okay, there
Don't
you go.
Throw.
Then you're not just what?
Hey, Lance, you know what I love? When I'm listening to one of these national shows and these guys are like, hey, I'm going to go over to my guy Lance Zierlein, NFL insider Lance Zierlein, and I do a little, God dang, man, I've been listening to that sumbitch for 30 years. Little nice guy. Love Zierlein. Let's go over to Lance Zierlein. He knows everything about the NFL. Lance, in your professional opinion.
I know. See, that's how it goes. That's the respect I'm treated with nationally.
You see?
The disrespect I get here is unbelievable.
Well, it's true. It's because it's weird.
All things.
Because they don't know you nearly
all
as well.
All things draft. Lance, this is the guy.
All right. We got to break it because we got. What did you learn this weekend? In one sentence, brought to you by Free Rank Coffee. Brought to you by Free Rank Coffee. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? 713-780-3776. Are you like me? Are you Professor Positive? Let's go. What did you learn? Could be about your family. It could be about whatever it is. You got it. 713-780-3776. Get in now, and we're going to fly through them. Right now, though, I'm talking about dip. And I was thinking about this because my buddy, man, it's just gross. He just dips all the time, and it's gross, and it's all over the place, and it's spitting and in his cup, and you can smell it, and it's just terrible. And, oh, by the way, it's not good for you. Dips every day. I mean, you guys that dip every day, do you know what you're doing? The tobacco and the nicotine, you know how dangerous it is? Stop already. Wean yourself off of that. Hemp in a pouch made of hemp with CBD oil. The CBD oil has healing powers to it, let alone it's not going to hurt you. As a matter of fact, it can help you. And you don't spit, you swallow it because it's got the CBD oil. CBD American Shaman says, oh, yeah, we like that. We'll carry it at some of our shops. here's the deal. You need to get off of that tip and get with this one. 975dip.com. Wean yourself from that tobacco and nicotine at 975dip.com.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
I'm going to play What Have You Learned This Week in One Sentence, brought to you by Free Rain Coffee. Free Rain Coffee is the way to start your day. Get up and get after it, everybody. I will start it. I will tell you this. Going to a Lutheran church in Charleston, South Carolina is a lot different than a Black Baptist church in Austin.
Okay. I learned that my sons need to take their Spanish courses seriously in high school because they need to get down to Mexico City, find a girl, and bring her back.
Okay.
Wow.
I learned that about Charlotte as well. If I could go back to College of Charleston, I'm there. Holy crap. They had graduation this weekend there, and it was wow. 713-780-3776. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? Ocho, ¿qué pasó, Ocho?
Yeah, I learned at a Castaneda High School's national record time in the 4x100-meter relay would have won the Big Ten Conference Finals.
That's how good a Tascasita is. How about that? That would have won the Big Ten. They're fast.
Wow.
They're fast.
Would have won the Big Ten.
Wow.
Well, Big Ten is slow.
Well, Big Ten is.
Let's
plotting. Even their track is plotting.
Big Ten is a plotting conference.
Will, what'd you learn this weekend in one sentence?
Xander Schauffele is Cal Naughton Jr. from Talladega Nights. Always second.
Man, that dude, he cannot. Although, you got to give it up for Rory. Rory went 8-under in 8 holes. 8 straight holes. He was 8-under.
That's like a
in the final round. Oh, he was. He was. It was just. Now, Schauffele gags. Holy cow, dude.
And you said that about him a while back.
Make him play in the fourth round. 713-780-3776. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? 713-780-3776. Isaac, what'd you learn this weekend in one sentence?
Hey, what's up, fellas? I learned this weekend that Loma Chico and Lionel Hutz have something in common. They still got it.
Wait, what did he say?
I couldn't. Did you hear? Did you understand it? Dell couldn't understand it either. I don't know what he said. Nomo Chico or something. Maybe somebody can translate that for us. 713-780-3776. Let's go. Open lines. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? Brought to you by Free Rank Coffee. What is it? You got to get up and get your day started with Free Rank Coffee. Get on in here. 713-780-3776. Lou, what'd you learn this weekend in one sentence?
I actually learned it this morning. I learned that if Lance spends time around the cartel, he turns into a scared little boy.
Everyone's acting like this Astros team looks like anything like any other Astros team. They don't.
They just did this weekend.
Not
they
even
finally
close.
Played like they're supposed to. They came up with big hits. They came up with runs late.
I was not.
Fromber and Verlander both looked good, really good. And you're so scared.
I didn't get to see it. I watched just on my score phone. That's right. All. I didn't watch.
Saw the score. I do know this. 8 strikeouts by Verlander. Thank you.
I know Verlander had a really good game. Right. And I know Fromber was much better than the previous start that he had, which was terrible.
Well, yeah. No.
I just want to see these guys put 3 good starts together.
Okay.
I'm still waiting for that.
And you're going to watch that?
In a row.
This week.
You already said 8-2.
We got Eric Getty going tonight. How could you not love this team? Okay. Keith, what'd you learn this weekend in one sentence?
Hey, guys. I learned this again and again. When it comes to Sunday and golf, Xander Schauffele wants nothing to do with it.
Yeah, I know. Well, that was so painful to watch, too. I mean, he couldn't answer. Although, again, Rory was just great. You got to give it up for Rory. He was just spectacular. He won. He made every shot, every putt, and it was pretty disheartening for Xander. I felt bad for him, but this is what he does. He just doesn't show up on Sunday. La raza, ¿qué pasó, mijo?
Y el Lance Z. ¡Delvecito!
Gentlemen, good morning. Balloon.
No.
Para tres, gentlemen, good morning. Hey, we give a shout out to my boy Eric Lakeland, and this is what I learned over the weekend. I learned that Eric Lakeland can say El Chino on air, but we can't play male golf or female golf for food.
He did say El Chino.
Who did he say that about?
Well, what was that about, Del? It was about Japanese. And he called him, if we were in, we'd call him El Chino. If he was in prison. We were doing prison movies?
Right? No, it was about, I don't remember, because John had something
It was about the interpreter.
Oh, yeah.
He's Japanese, but if he
Ohtani's
was in
interpreter.
If he was in our prison and we were, in the Mexican gang, then we would be, and we would call him El Chino.
I like that he was holding it down.
Yeah. Right?
I believe, Ohtani, if Ohtani's interpreter, when he goes to prison, then he was in a, lockdown.
Yeah.
And the gangs are
they
fighting.
Just kind of shuffle you into, that's his group.
Yeah, his group would be, and then everyone will look at him.
I don't think that's probably the strongest group.
Yeah, but you wouldn't have a great eye and go, actually, that guy's Japanese. He would just probably
be called.
Yeah, no.
No, yeah.
He'd right.
Just, he'd just be. I think right. That was the point, was that he would still be El Chino.
Right.
Right, right, right. Right. 713-780-3776. Who is that, though?
Oh. It was D, but he hung up.
Oh, got that D. Nice job, D.
Did you learn anything, Del?
What did I learn? I learned never count out the heart of a champion.
The Astros.
No, the Nuggets.
Oh, the Nuggets. Ooh. Yeah, we haven't even touched on that. The Nuggets, man, they went to Minnesota and said, oh, really? You took two on our house? Watch this.
I learned that Twitter basketball fans legitimately believe that it's no big deal to just step off the court in NBA and go play football immediately. It's not a sport that pretty much anyone can play.
It's not just Twitter NBA. Basketball fans. You've got people like Dominic Foxworth, who does a segment with Bomani Jones.
Right.
Like, basketball players, better chance.
Does anyone recognize
so
and realize?
So he thought that NBA players would have a better chance
the
of playing.
Discussion, it wasn't this abject no. It was like, better athletes.
Here's the thing. This is one of the dumbest things in the world. NBA players are not going to go over and play NFL football. When people talk about, what about Antonio Gates? Never played NBA basketball. Jimmy Graham never played NBA basketball. These guys were not NBA players. NBA players are, you know why? Antonio Gates is too small to play in the NBA. He wasn't big enough as a post player. Jimmy Graham wasn't big enough as a post player. Julius Peppers isn't big enough. Julius Peppers is football first. These guys aren't big enough. And once you get too tall, do you know how many? I do 500 draft profiles, right? I go to their bios. Do you know how many times I see guys who are all-state basketball players of these football players? How many of these guys were all-state? Like a lot of them. A lot of them are 20 points, 13 rebounds, 27 points, one state championship. These are These are guys who played basketball and football and excelled in basketball, but they're only six. They're 6'2". You know, they're a safety at 6'2" or 6'1", or a wide receiver who's 6'3". The only reason their basketball skill level. Oh, Del, your mic's on. Their basketball skill level is really high at that age, but they're not tall enough. Unless you're a point guard, you need to be, 6'3" to 6'5" to 6'7". You're not tall enough. And so so there's a lot of guys whose favorite sport is basketball who end up being good football players. And they were really good basketball players, skilled. How many NBA players have all-state football in their backgrounds? I will promise you it is 1/10 of the amount. All-state football players, all-state basketball players who end up going to play in the NFL, I see it all the time. It's no big deal. Basketball players, though, who are All-State basketball players. Who is the, who is this on the line?
Intern Lexi?
Oh,
you don't know Intern Lexi?
Yeah, I know who it is. I just didn't see from here. Yeah.
All right, we got to get her in.
Oh, what did she learn right
what
now?
That's right.
What we'll find out what she did learn.
What did you learn this weekend? In one sentence, brought to you by Free Man Coffee.
Turn the music on.
Intern Lexi, what'd you learn?
Hold on, Good morning, guys. Hold on, Lexi. Let's get our music. We got to make it legit.
Just go. Go, Lexi, go.
Okay.
What did you learn?
I learned that every Astros fan, if you buy another MLB jersey, you are all of a sudden not an Astros fan.
Well, okay. So did you, okay, we can ask you this. Did you do this?
Yes, I did.
Who did you buy, Otani?
So I bought a Minnesota Twins jersey, the Carlos Correa jersey.
All right. No, you're fine. You're fine. That's not true. If you bought a Carlos Correa jersey,
as long as I'm good in y'all's book.
Yeah, you're grandfathered in. She brought a Twins Carlos Correa jersey. That's fine.
That's fine.
That doesn't make you not an Astros fan.
No.
It makes you a Carlos Correa
fan. No, you're a Correa fan, and that's fine. And by the way,
he was born here with the Astros.
By the way, you're kicking ass. You go ahead, Lexi. You be you.
That's okay? Not true.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, that's not true. If it's a Carlos Correa jersey, if you wore a – I go so far as to say is if you want a if you wore a – Charlie
Morton
jersey somewhere.
No, I that means you're an Astros.
Yeah, he was born with the Astros too.
Yeah,
that's he was in his 30s, but still, right. To me, that's when his career started.
What had he done before that?
Now, if you wear a Garrett Cole jersey, no good.
No
Yankees, you're out.
No bueno.
No Cole Garrett jersey? Cole Yankees jersey out. You're out of the. Which right now you're probably rushing to get out anyway.
What if you buy a Bregman Pirates jersey? Because that looks like where he's ending up.
Is he going to end up with Pirates?
It looks like that's where he's going to end up.
I'd be good with that too.
All right. I guess. What if you went to the stadium today with a Bregman Pirates jersey?
Started wearing jerseys where you want them traded. Kyle Tucker Dodgers. Well, they probably don't have any prospects left. I don't want to trade him to the Dodgers.
No.
Yankees and Dodgers probably don't have anyone left.
Well, don't worry, we don't trade anybody. He's just going to sign there.
No.
And he's
what if you wear a college player's jersey from where your pick would be that you get for Alex Bregman walking?
Right.
Your compensatory pick. And you wear somebody's jersey.
Bregman compensatory pick jersey. We got to break it. Thank you, Lexi.
How about Paul Skeens?
Thank you for everybody who participated in What Have You Learned This Weekend in One Sentence, brought to you by Free Rain Coffee. Right now, I'm talking about HRP, HRP.net, 281-880-6525, or HRP.net. I say this a bunch. You don't know payroll. You sell your widgets. What are your widgets? I don't know what your widgets are, but whatever it is. And it could be just your services. It doesn't matter. But if you have a business that's thriving right now, growing right now, it's getting a little out of hand for you in your payroll. It's getting a little out of hand for you in HR. It's getting a little out of hand for you and tax-wise. You just went through it, the tax season. How was it? Was it great or did it suck? Okay? Because with us, it's great. It's easy. Ask Laura. You can call up here and ask Laura about ask for Laura, and she will tell you about everything that HRMP does for us. You hear all kinds of different businesses come up here and speak for HRMP. Well, you heard Bucky Richardson. You heard my man Marcus Piavla from Orleans Seafood. You heard the great folks from Channel Penn. All of them speak so highly of what HRMP does for them. You, my friends, let them do that for you as well. Save money. Do it better, technologically advanced, more than you are. You don't know the payroll business they do. 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar. With a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry, IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling Yuzu Mango IQ Mix Hydration Mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to iqbar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's iqbar.com, promo code KELLER20.